Okay, we'll call the order of the House Revenue Committee meeting. Welcome everybody here and our small entourage of guests. Let's start with a public hearing on House Bill 292. Ms. Betts, if you would tell us what that is. We'll open the public hearing on House Bill 292.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman and committee members, for the record, I'm Elizabeth Martin-Mahar with Legislative Revenue Office. So with Senate Bill 292, this comes to you from the Senate Revenue Committee, where it passed unanimously. It extends the sunset date for corporate income and excise tax credits for donations of certain computer and scientific equipment to 2010. So basically, there were no amendments on the Senate side, and this credit is one that was established in 1985. So basically, for contributions of computers and scientific equipment or a research donation to an institution of higher education, a post-secondary school, or Oregon Public School can then claim a credit for those donations. Now, the donations of money under a contract for scientific or engineering research or donations of a contract for maintenance of that computer or scientific equipment can also qualify for the credit. The credit is equal to only 10% of the fair market value of the equipment that's donated. It can be carried forward for 5 years. Mm-hmm. Under current law, this corporate excise tax credit will sunset in January 1st, 2004. Now, what we from the data that we have, we just have 99 and 2000 data. There was only less than five corporations that actually used this credit for the contributions of their computer and scientific equipment to educational institutions. So it was not heavily used. But in recent years, when on the Senate side, we had testimony from university deans and of engineering schools, and they said that they have been soliciting different private donations to help in their push to create the top-tier engineering schools. So there should be additional usage of this credit in upcoming years. So the revenue impact is roughly $100,000 in the 2004-05 fiscal year and $200,000 in the 2005-07 biennium.
That's assuming higher utilization.
Correct, yeah.
And all right.
Mr. Chairman, I was just going to say, too, just so you know, we're going to have Jim Cravens, who wanted to speak to this. He's just in another room, so he'll be coming.
How long do we have to wait for him?
I don't know.
Well, does anybody else want to testify on Senate Bill 292 while we're here? Okay. Do you know where Jim is?
Yeah, in Senate Judiciary. We paged him, and...
Okay. Steve, are you doing 807? Why don't we recess the public hearing on 292? And with having that background, let's open up a public hearing on Senate Bill 807.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair, members, Senate Bill 807A deals with federal impact aid to school districts. What it does is to allow a school district that receives this federal impact aid to issue revenue bonds, and it would require an agreement between the school district and an Indian tribe before doing that. It would limit the bonds to five times the average federal impact aid received by the school district, and it would require that the bond proceeds be used for school capital construction projects on the Indian reservation whose students generate the impact aid. Also, if bonds are issued, it requires that the school district set up a bond building fund and a bond debt service fund. The bill would take effect July 1, 2003. There are currently about 12 school districts that receive the federal impact aid. Madras is the highest, and it would be one of perhaps two districts that would receive enough impact aid to warrant issuing bonds against. So... and if the school district that receives the impact aid then would, in effect, dedicate that towards bond repayment and have less funds available for general operating purposes.
Okay. What is federal impact aid?
It's federal dollars that go to school districts that are impacted primarily by military bases or Indian reservations.
Okay, and here in Oregon, I assume that's limited to Indian reservations.
Yes.
Since we don't have any military bases.
Right.
Okay.
The Warm Springs confederation that would be impacted.
Well, anybody here want to testify on Senate Bill 807? Boy, we sure struck out this morning, didn't we? Everybody signed up. Okay.
Okay, I will.
I'm feeling like this is probably a slam dunk. Looking at the vote count in the Senate, there was no opposition to this. Any testimony at all in the Senate?
Yes, there was. I think three different people testified. One was Mr. Mason, representing the tribe. I think Roger Martin testified shortly at the work session time. And there was also someone representing the reservation. I'm not sure what his position was, representing the tribe.
Okay. John Marshall, we ought to have some sort of record on this thing before we move on it. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, good morning. John Marshall, representing the Oregon School Boards Association. When Senate Bill 807 appeared before the Senate Revenue Committee, because it affected school districts and their ability to issue bonds, I've met with the folks that represent the Warm Springs Tribe and talked to them and shared with them some of the pool bonding programs we have available. Suggested that maybe we might be able to work out some additional options. The issue, the school district contains the Warm Springs Indian Reservation. On the reservation is a school, an elementary school, and it's my understanding that the reservation owns the land. The school district owns and operates the school building. The school building is in need of some repair, and there have been negotiations between the reservation and the school district about how they might reconstruct or improve that school building. A particular concern is the fact that the school district doesn't have any money. And I think the school board is rather reluctant to issue, to try to get a bond measure, because it only benefits kids on the reservation that attend that school. And so they've been sort of working back and forth for a number of years trying to figure out a way to raise some revenue in order to improve that school. And the folks with the tribe came up with the idea, and recognizing that the school district receives this impact aid by virtue of the reservation and the students on that reservation, and therefore wouldn't it be great if we could use that revenue stream to issue bonds to improve that school? There are currently in statute a variety of different options. I talked to some bond underwriters, and they suggested that use of that revenue in and of itself would not probably be a very good idea, just because Congress sort of has impact aid in their budget 1 year, and then there's always a fight to retain it. And therefore, anybody purchasing these bonds would look at that record and suggest this isn't very stable revenue in terms of the time over which you would want to dedicate that revenue to repay these bonds. But use of that revenue, given this authority in this bill, along with other revenue, probably creates for the tribe and the school district an additional tool that might allow them to enhance that school. So there's a little bit of history there, and I know just enough, Mr. Chairman, to make me dangerous, but I wanted to share with you that that's what's going on.
All right. And they need need statutory state authorization to use that federal money as a revenue stream for bonds.
Well, Mr. Chairman, the fact of the matter is no. There, as I said, school districts currently have a very broad authority to issue bonds or notes in order to improve school buildings. I think the issue is largely one of the tribe wanting to show the school board and the community that there's some interest in allowing these funds, along with others, in an attempt to try to enhance that school and improve that school. If this bill were not to pass, would the school district have authority to issue bonds for purpose of approving that school? Yes, they would. This, I think, gives them an additional political tool to use.
Cindy, do you want to join us. Thank you. I'll let you stay there in case you have any questions.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Cindy Barber, and I represent the Confederate Tribes of the Umatilla Indian Reservation who are not impacted by this bill, but I think that legislative staff told you earlier that Roger Martin had testified previously on the Senate side, and I just wanted to ring in here because John has pointed out admirably that this is actually not necessary, but it is something that allows the Indians to show their support of the school districts. We many times find that the tribes are trying to decide on the whole sovereignty issue, where we are impacted, where we are not. And it's an argument that a lot of legislators have with tribes. How come you want to participate here but not here? And we're just trying to make sure that the tribes participate anywhere they can. And this is an offering of, we want you to use this money. We won't stand in your way. We'll help you get this federal money. And that's all it is a way for them to say, we want to help. We want to improve schools. Our folks are there, too. Please let us do what we can. We also think it sets a very good example for other tribes as they try to help their localities come up with funding issues.
Okay. Thank you very much. Questions for either of these two before they escape? All right. Does anybody else want to testify on Senate Bill 807 now that we're beginning to get a sense of it? All right. Close public hearing on Senate Bill 807, and I'll open a work session on that. What's your pleasure?
I'll give this.
Mr. Chair,
thank you, Representative Verger.
That Senate Bill 807 moved to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Representative Verger moves Senate Bill 807 to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion?
Mr. Chair, my only concern is something that was just said, and that is that while the bill is not necessary, that it might have an implication that the state would be in some way obligated to get involved in the impact aid discussion at the federal level in the future. I don't find that as a serious concern, but it certainly gave me pause and caught my attention.
Was it Scott?
Mine is the last statement under revenue impact. The amount of any impact aid used to repay bonds would not be available for school operating costs. I don't know if I fully understand.
So if I understand from what we got from the testimony, you've got this money coming in from the federal government on account of an Indian school being located within a district, and right now there are no strings attached to that money, but it can only be used for that for the operation of that Indian school, I assume.
Mm-hmm. Not the operation.
Not operation. No, construction.
Construction.
The impact aid, as far as I know, isn't dedicated to that particular school,
but to the district.
Because of the Indian students.
But what you've got here then is a dedication of that revenue stream to back these bonds.
And if it's currently being used for operation purposes, that would no longer be available for that.
But I guess that's a local school district.
Yes.
Risk, I guess, that they're taking. It's not going to affect whatever the state obligation would be to that district.
I would not think so.
Okay.
So then, with the lack of the district here saying, yes, we want to do it, and the impact that it may cause, and with the comments that Mr. Marshall said about not being very stable and that they're not always funded, potential of the impact.
I think that's addressed in the bill where it says in Section 3, pursuant to an agreement between the school district and the governing body of the tribe. So it doesn't automatically go unless they reach agreement.
Yeah.
Okay. They'd still have to go back and negotiate and come to an agreement between the tribe and the district.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Any further discussion? Please call the roll.
Representatives Barnhart?
Aye.
Berger?
Aye.
Farr?
Aye.
Pass?
Aye.
Hobson?
Aye.
Scott? Berger?
Aye.
Chair Sherman? Aye. All right. Senate Bill 807 goes to the floor of the due pass recommendation. Do we have a carrier?
Yeah.
Do you want to carry that?
All right.
Representative Berger. All right. Let's close the work session then on Senate Bill 807. Thank you, Steve. Reopen the public hearing on Senate Bill 292 and invite up Jim Craven. doing double duty this morning, huh?
Whew.
Yeah.
All my errands in the first 90 minutes of the week.
You'll be able to relax.
That's right. Mr. Chair, Jim Craven for the record, American Electronics Association. Thank you for the accommodation. And I was actually on the witness stand when my pager was going off up in 343, so appreciate the chance to testify on Senate Bill 292. Senate Bill 292 is a fairly simple bill. In statute for a number of years, we've had a modest tax credit that allows companies that donate brand new equipment. This isn't used equipment, brand new equipment to both K-12 and higher education. This is computing and other technology-related equipment or research contracts. It is a 10% of the fair market value of such donations, and it has to be taken in lieu of a deduction, so it's not a double-dipping issue. Many companies, depending on their tax planning or whatever, take a deduction instead of a credit. There doesn't seem to be evidence that this is being used in huge amounts. I think the fiscal or the revenue impact for the next biennium is approximately $100,000, perhaps $200,000 down the road. The Oregon Tax Expenditure Report says that this is a fiscally effective method of achieving the goal of the provision. This tax incentive appears to be much less costly than when educational organizations have to purchase such equipment outright. And you can do the math. Free is better than full price. In every case. On the Senate side and Senate Revenue Committee, I was joined with Dean Bob Dryden from Portland State University and Dean Rod Adams from Oregon State University, who talked to that committee about this being a tool, particularly as they are constructing two new very state-of-the-art engineering centers in Portland and in Corvallis. You know, the bonding and the state financing and the private donations are principally for the construction of that building. Perhaps it's, internal working pieces, but not for equipment, not for the state-of-the-art laser devices and computing devices. That still has to be raised and financed to get those new engineering centers up and running. This is a tool that we think will help in that challenge, especially given the tight economic times. If this tax credit is used, it's a guaranteed 10-to-1 return on investment for the state. You can give a minor tax credit for a major donation of equipment, or you can try to find a way within the process to pay for the whole price of the equipment. So that's basically what's in front of you. This is just simply a date extension of 6 years of an existing credit. Doesn't change it in any way, and I urge your support.
Okay. That helps. Questions, Representative Hass.
Thank you. So this involves written deals, right? And with the other parties being involved, that would tend to prevent a company loading up, say, obsolete equipment onto somebody else because the other party can sign on to that.
Right. Mr. Chair, Representative Hass, it is only new equipment. First thing to remember, this is brand new stuff only. You're not going to get rid of, used junk or whatever. But, yeah, I mean, it's not something where you drive up a truckload and dump it at Portland State and you get a tax credit. I mean, yeah, you're exactly right. It's usually these things go through foundations, I think, and in the process. And yeah, it would have to be something somebody would want, I would hope, and not just a surplus method.
Yeah. And
yes,
Mr. Chair, follow up on that. All these foundations have a committee that reviews donations that are offered and determines whether or not they are valuable and useful to the university. And if they're not accepted, then they're not accepted. Isn't that correct?
Mr. Chair, Representative Barner, I think you're correct on that. Yeah, you don't. People don't just take stuff because someone gives it. They have to ask and want it.
Right.
Okay, other questions? Kind of hard to tell what this bill does from the text of the bill itself.
Yeah.
But I don't find anything about computers in the text of the bill. I assume that must be in the statutes that are referenced in sub 1.
Mr. Chair, if I could help with that, yeah, as you may know, when we do, most of our tax issues have sunsets. The
right.
Sunsets are done in chapter law, essentially as a note to the existing underlying statute. So all the printed bill does is amend that note and change the date.
Right.
So that's why you see nothing of content, really, in the printed bill itself, because the only thing being changed is the date.
Okay. Anything else? All right. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Mr.
Appreciate
Chair.
Appreciate bringing in the evaluation from the tax expenditure report, too. That was going to be a question I had. So that's useful. Are there any other witnesses to testify now on Senate Bill 282 with the ice having been broken? Okay. Seeing none, we will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 282, open a work session.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Representative Hass.
I move Senate Bill 292 to the floor with a due pass.
Representative Hass moves Senate Bill 292 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Fair discussion. Representative Barnhart.
Mr. Chair, in spite of the fact that the University of Oregon was not mentioned in the discussion, I do intend to support the bill.
Is that the one in Eugene?
Well, it has been referred to in a variety of other ways, but yes, yeah. That is the one in Eugene.
And I'm afraid for the same reasons I cannot vote.
All right, please call the roll.
Representative Barnhart.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Carr.
Oh, aye.
Hess.
Aye.
Hobson.
Aye.
Pratt.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Kershettle.
Aye. Senate Bill 807 goes to the floor with the due pass. Sorry, 292, and it goes to the floor with the due pass recommendation. President Hass, this is kind of your district.
Go close the loopholes.
You close the loopholes. Okay. Close the work session on Senate Bill 292. Committee, you'll see that remainder of the week, we just have two bills up. That's school funding, and my intent is to spend at least a couple days on that, so we won't be expecting to move those bills right away. Representative Barnhart?
Mr. Chair, I want to note for the record that I just received from Mr. Craven a letter from the President of the University of Oregon supporting House Bill 290.
Good. Here's your cover.
So I'm actually covered.
Even after the fact. All right. With that, then, committee, let me see. Tomorrow we will start at 8:30. Back onto our habituated schedule. All right. We're adjourned.
Can we still have...